So for those of you that don't know, my name is Rachel Fraze. I just haven't ate a whole lot of cookies. We're expecting our third child. I have probably ate a lot of cookies too. My husband and I, Scott, we've been married for 8 years. We're actually going students at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. We have two children and are expecting our third. Our eldest, Emma, our little Spitfire, is starting kindergarten, so it's a new season of bravery for us all. And we have a son, Wesley, who's almost three in December, and you'll see him kind of running around before and after. He's delicious. And we're excited for this third baby boy. We'll come and see you guys. Right before Christmas. So you guys will get to meet him after Christmas. My husband and I were working with a missions organization where Tom and Donna Petter worked with. We worked at the same school, the School of Biblical Studies. And so this is what I live for, you guys, is studying his word and teaching it. So I feel so excited and so honored to be able to be here with you guys today. And also to dig into 1st and 2nd Corinthians. These are letters that are near and dear to my heart, mostly because they cultivate learning, which I love. They cultivate questions, and mostly they cultivate us turning our eyes towards the cross, which I think is what is really beautiful about being able to study as a community. And we get to do something new for some of you guys, and we get to return to something that some of you guys have already done, which is the inductive Bible study. Now, how many of you guys have heard of the inductive Bible study? So, a good amount of you guys. So, for those of you that are new, this will be new. We'll be learning some new tools to be able to help us dig into the text. For those of you guys returning, the great thing about the inductive method is we are always growing in our skills to study the Bible. So hopefully today will be a good review for those of you that are learning. We're going to take the next few weeks to be able to really help us grow in our skills as inductive students. So, why do we even study the Bible? How many of you guys own at least one Bible? Okay. Keep your hands up if you own more than two Bibles. Keep your hands up if you own more than three. Four. Five. Six. You know, some of you are like, possible. I haven't actually counted that yet. There might be a few under the bed, or you know, some Psalms here and a New Testament there. But that is actually the average. Is the average person owns between actually three and four Bibles. Now, what percentage do you think has actually read the entirety of the Bible as Christians? 10%. And that's why we're here, is because we want to know who God is, and he's given us two things. He's given us his word, and he's given us his Holy Spirit to be able to know him more. And I think that that's the beautiful thing. Whether you've read your entire Bible or not, it doesn't matter. We are here to grow together as individuals and as a community to know God more through his word, asking the Spirit to come in and guide us. Now, as we think about those things, we live in a world where I believe the statistic is 44% believe that the Bible, the Quran, and the Book of Mormon are the same book. 44% of people.
What do you mean, the same book?
They have the same truth in them.
Oh.
The same spiritual truth, not the same book. But they all are the same amount of truth within each of these books. So we live in a world where we're dialoguing with a culture and some within the church that actually are struggling with handling what is truth. Where do we find truth? And so I think that our responsibility is to first discover that for ourselves, and then to be able to communicate it to people that are searching for what truth actually is. And so I love being able to come to His Word. I love being able to study it for ourselves, because in order to communicate it to other people, we first have to know what we believe and why we believe it. And so that is the purpose of the inductive study, is that we want to be able to know what God has to say to us. Who is He? What is truth? Why do we believe what we believe? And how do we communicate to that, to a world that is searching desperately for answers, searching for truth, searching for why there's brokenness, searching for why there's pain, searching for why there is suffering in the world. And we get to dialogue about that together this year as we go through the letters of Corinthians, which are amazing, by the way. I'm so excited, because one thing you will learn about me is I like to stir the pot. And 1st and 2nd Corinthians has so much to stir. So you'll get used to me testing the waters with some uncomfortable questions. The Bible should make us feel uncomfortable, you guys. Like, just brace yourself now. We should feel comfortable with being uncomfortable with His Word, because God is so much bigger than we are. And if we can contain Him in a box of our understanding, is that really the God we want to serve? So be okay with not knowing. Be okay with struggling to answer things. Be okay with maybe disagreeing with people in your group, or not knowing a little bit, or processing through it. I hope that we leave with a different understanding of these letters than when we came. Because that's the point of growing and the point of studying. So we're going to start with the inductive study. So the main thing with the inductive study is there is three main steps that we're going to continually go through every single week. For those of you that were here last week, last year, what is the first step to the inductive study? Observation. Okay, before we do observation, it's a trick question, actually, is we pray. This should be, for those of you not spiritual enough, pray. No. Prayer should actually be the main thing that is interwoven throughout the entire process of the inductive study, that we're always inviting God in to come and reveal Himself as we study. After we pray, is observation, Smarties. Okay? So we want to continue. This is kind of going to be our foundational step, is observation. For those of you that are new, observation is one of those steps where you're like, what does it mean to observe? What does it mean to look? And so this is where we're really, the best way to put it is your look, look, look until looking becomes seeing. This is where we're looking at what the text actually says. So we're staying away from what it means. We're staying away from questions. We're just looking at what does the Bible actually have to say to us. So we're being good detectives. So if we're thinking about observation, you can think about being a detective. So a gruesome example would be you go to a crime scene. When you walk into a crime scene, do you automatically interpret what it means? Do you say, well, this was a premeditated murder done by the mother of the brother-in-law, and it was done in this and this and this way? No, what do you do? You go in and you gather evidence. Exactly, you're gathering clues. So observation is looking at things and gathering evidence and gathering clues. I'm gonna play you guys a video. I'm gonna see what great detectives you guys actually are. Okay, you guys ready for this? I'm horrible at this video, so feel encouraged.
Somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buffering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
But I was plunking my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest! Lady Smythe!
But how did you know?
Madam, is it?
Okay. How many of you guys noticed anything change in that brief scene?
Yeah.
In this room, we turned down the lights. Okay, so I'm going to play it again. And I want you to look for anything that changes in the scene, okay? There's going to be a few things that change. It's going to be subtle, but there's a lot of them, actually. Okay? You guys ready for this?
Yeah.
You're like, we're horrible observers. Don't worry, be encouraged.
Clearly, somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buffering his lordship's scones below stairs, sir.
But I was plunking my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest! Lady Smythe!
But how did you know?
Madam, as any horticulturist will tell you, one does not plant petunias until May is out. Take her away. It's just a matter of observation. The real question is, how observant were you?
How many of you guys got one? Two? Okay, what are some of the things that you guys saw? Okay. The bear changed to a knight. The hat on the detective. They each had a different thing in their hand. The what? The vase changed.
The flowers changed.
Good. Erica?
The investigator's coat.
You guys see? Good. Okay. Okay, so how many of you guys got all of that by yourself? So, no. And that is actually the beautiful thing about doing this study in a community, is everybody is going to see something a little bit different, and we get to grow in our scope of observation because of everybody else. Now, who wants to actually see the changes? Okay, I have to say,
somebody in this room murdered Lord Smythe, who, at precisely 3:34 this afternoon, was brutally bludgeoned to death with a blunt instrument. I want each of you to tell me your whereabouts at precisely the time that this dastardly deed took place.
I was polishing the brass in the master bedroom.
I was buffering his lordship's scones at the stairs.
But I was plunging my petunias in the potting shed.
Constable, arrest! Lady Smythe!
Impressive, right? Yes. I love that video because I think it really reveals to us the point of observation is to spend time looking, noticing things that you wouldn't necessarily have noticed initially. If you look at this next picture, what do you guys see? An old woman. Who of you guys sees an old woman? Okay, how many of you guys see the young woman? Yeah, most people I think initially see the young woman. The old woman you have to really look at. This is her nose. That's the wart on her nose. The young woman's ear is her eye, this is her mouth, and this is her chin. Do you see it? Yeah. So it's looking at things until we continue to notice more of what is actually there. And that's the beautiful thing about the Bible, is that even after over 10 years of studying it,
every time we read it, every time I read it, I see something different. In studying it in a community where we get to dialogue about what we see, the reality is we each see something different. We each see something a little bit, maybe, you know, some of us see the old woman initially, some of us see the young woman, some of us see both of them, but we get to develop those skills together. So one thing about observation I want to comfort you with is don't feel like you have to see what other people are seeing. Like, that will come, or maybe even dialoguing about it together will help grow our skills together as a community. So be okay with what you see. Continue practicing. Continue noticing. Continue gathering your clues. What do you guys see here? How many of you guys see two faces? Okay. How many of you guys see the vase? Good. How many of you guys see both? Good. Okay. So in between the faces is the vase in white, and then the two faces are the silhouette in black. So what observations in the Bible are we actually looking at? So these are kind of the main ones. If you guys turn into the back of your book, into your manual, it gives a little bit more detail. These are kind of your main staple ones that are pretty easy. There's more. Again, don't feel limited. Like, don't feel put in a box with what you notice. You're gathering clues, you're gathering evidence. And you can kind of observe this. The reason we printed out a text is so you can write on it. So you could do colors, you could do shapes to observe things. And we're going to spend time in the next few weeks kind of practicing observing together as groups. So don't be like, what? How do I do this? We're going to practice. We're going to kind of take time to do that. But the first one is repeated words or ideas. People love this one. God is just going to be in the Bible. That's an automatic giveaway. You don't have to notice that one. Jesus as well. Those will be repeated. It is the Bible. You can if you want, but don't get bogged down in the details. Also, remembering that we're studying epistles, okay? So this is a letter. So it's not a narrative. It's a little bit different. So the repeated words you might be looking for are more like theological terms, like unity or pride or wisdom or sanctification. And so we're going to kind of